You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Curt Schilling's a jackass. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's a jackass. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. So in case you're just joining us, in the last hour, the Baseball Hall of Fame announced that no new players would be inducted this coming year to the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling was the closest at 71%. You, of course, need 75% to get voted into the Hall of Fame. Now, let's be fair about a couple of things. When it comes to Curt Schilling's career, there's no arguing that he is absolutely a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Fame player. There aren't many pitchers in the modern era that you would rather have on the mound in a big game. He was absolutely fantastic in big situations. And whether or not you think the bloody sock was fake or not, it was a great performance in one of the all-time great World Series ever. You look at all of his career numbers, 246 career wins. He was a dominant pitcher throughout the course of his time in the big leagues. And he is obviously having plenty of his personality held against him in not getting in. But let's be clear about a couple of things here with Curt Schilling. Curt can't help himself. And when you know people who can't help themselves, you can't help them. You know, you could come out and say, if you were one of Curt's friends, if you were one of his people that were close to him, if you were one of the people that he actually listened to over the last 7 or 8 years, hey, Curt, you want to get into the Hall of Fame? Tone down the rhetoric. Tone down everything that you're talking about politically, okay? Things have not exactly gone smoothly for Curt Schilling since he left baseball. You know, he had the whole issue with the casino where he went bankrupt that he was funding up in Rhode Island, whatever that situation was. He, you know, gets so political, and I think on either side that would hurt in a lot of ways, but particularly in times like these, it hurts. And I hate to put it this way. As much as you morally want to believe that all of your accomplishments on the field should supersede anything in regards to your personality now, look at the times, look at the people that are voting, and understand the situation. You may not like what it is, but dude, be smart enough to play the game a little bit. That's the only reason you're not in the Hall of Fame right now. And now Curt Schilling puts out a Facebook post talking about how he wants off the ballot for next year, which, by the way, is his last year on the ballot. The ballots this year came in and were due before Curt Schilling came out and supported the insurrection in D.C. Let's call it what it is. A lot of media across all platforms, including baseball, including sports, are liberal. And they look at what Curt Schilling says and does off the field, and they believe that it makes him a bad person. And in a lot of ways, Curt doesn't do anything to fight that notion. You know, this is a guy that back in his career raised so much money for ALS and was, you know, worked so hard with skin cancer and all of that stuff. But Curt now supports things that are just remarkably stupid, like the journalist rope tree thing Michael was talking about a few minutes ago, that he has Nazi memorabilia. You know, there is freedom of speech in this country, but it doesn't just go to Curt. It actually also goes to everybody else who's against Kurt. So if you're surprised that when people disagree with what your thoughts are, and your thoughts are extreme, and they're going to hold it against you, that's on you, bro. That's on you. That's just stupid. You wanted to get into the Hall of Fame. You have nothing to do with who votes. Nothing to do with who votes. You can't control that one bit. Be smarter and keep your thoughts to yourself, and you would have been in 3-4 years ago. And now you're not getting in next year. You wouldn't have gotten in anyway. I mean, again, as I said a few minutes ago, Kurt Schilling saying, take me off the ballot. Not doing it. No more. These media, they are morally bankrupt. Come on. Check the account balances, Kurt. You don't exactly have a whole lot floating around in that account. And secondly, you are not getting in next year anyway, and you know it. That, again, is the equivalent of me saying, you know what? I'm boycotting the gym tomorrow. Screw that. Their policies are so anti-American. Good chance I wasn't going anyway. Schilling is just absolutely lost on this. And the fact that he was never smart enough to just shut up for a few years. All right, put it in the hands of the veterans. Maybe they'll put you in. It's a shame because he is a Hall of Fame pitcher. He's a guy that's a contemporary for me. And when you watch him in his career, it was near impossible at times to get through against him. He was so good. But he has nobody to blame but himself for not getting in. You want to blame the media? Please, go ahead. That's fine. I'm not going to hang the media out to dry for not voting him in because 71% of them did. I'd be more on the media if we were talking about 10% or 20 or 30%. 71% could bring themselves to get past all of your stupidity over the years to do the right thing and vote for you to get in. That's a pretty good number. That 28 point whatever percent of them couldn't? Bro, you're lucky you were that close. You're lucky you were that close. And if anybody ever understood how to play the media game when he was a player, it was Kurt Schilling. It absolutely was. So don't, you know, get up on your high horse about how morally bankrupt everybody else is when you are supporting the overthrow of the government, the violent overthrow of the government. Don't be surprised by any of that. Hall of Fame pitcher? Hall of Fame jackass. 800-919-3776. We get started there. We get to why the Mets really should not pursue Trevor Bauer. And if they do, it better be a short-term contract. We'll talk about it all in over the next 90 minutes or so. We'll also get into James Harden taking a back seat. The numbers are staggering. The fact that Jeff Kent did not get anywhere close to getting in is beyond absurd. Now, Jeff Kent was not warm and fuzzy either, okay? He was kind of a jackass as he played, and I don't know if it was because he was difficult to deal with the media. But when it comes to offensive second baseman all time, Jeff Kent belongs in the Hall of Fame, and it's not close. I'm looking at a guy that for his career drove in 1,500 runs, which used to be a magic number, and it should be, scored 1,300 runs, hit 290 for his career, 290, OPS of 855, nearly 400 home runs, and among second basemen has the third most runs batted in. And in the top 15 second basemen in RBIs, there are three that are not in the Hall of Fame. One of them is still playing in Cano, and he's not getting in. And Lou Whitaker's the other one. And Lou Whitaker's like 13th. Kent's third. Kent was an amazing offensive player. He was in the mix for the MVP a few years. Yes, he played with Bonds. Was he a great defender? He was not. He won four Silver Sluggers. He won an MVP. And the highest vote he's gotten was this year at 32%. I mean, you can't explain that to me and sell it. Like, that's a guy that I would want as my second baseman. Drove in that many runs? Think about the seasons that this guy had. Drove in 100 runs eight times. Eight times. Hit 30 home runs on three different occasions. Just consistent. An exceptionally consistent player. 290, 290 in 2000, the MVP year. Hit 334 with 33-125. 298, 313, 297. His last year, for Pete's sake, he played 120 games with the Dodgers and hit 280. I mean, it's ridiculous that Jeff Kent isn't in the Hall of Fame for what he did offensively at the position. Like, Ryan Sandberg is not in the ballpark with Kent as a player. Absolutely not. Just to give you an idea, let me pull up Sandberg's numbers real quick. And I won't bore you with this for too long. Ryan Sandberg had 1,000 RBIs, 282 homers, and hit 285. You know, people going to scream and yell about Kent being on the juice. Well, where did I miss? Was there anything official that suggested that Kent was on the juice? Anything. This is not Bonds. This is not Clemens. You're just guessing at that point. I mean, Ryan Sandberg's in the Hall of Fame, comparatively speaking, and Kent is not. Sandberg's got 9 gold gloves. I get that. Superior defensive second baseman. But as far as the offensive player, he is not anywhere near what Jeff Kent was for his career. Not anywhere near. His OPS is under 800. Stop. 800-919-3776. Nas in Staten Island is next on 98.7 ESPN. Nas, what's going on?
Hey, Carlin. Big fan. I just wanted to bring up that time when someone said something really nasty on Twitter about Schilling's daughter, I believe. And he was really quick to make sure that person didn't have freedom of speech. And he tried to blow him up and make sure he loses his job and all those side effects of the freedom.
Well, listen, I don't remember the specific incident, but if you're talking about somebody's daughter, you can understand where there's an emotional response on Schilling's part.
Well, of course. I don't disagree, but this is the same thing. You do something with your speech, there's going to be a side effect of it. There's going to be a result of it that you may not like, but that's the freedom. You have the freedom to do it, and there are people who have private freedoms to, you know, punish you for them in their private lives, and that's what's happening.
Nobody is robbing Curt Schilling of his civil rights right now. Can we be clear on that? Nobody is telling Curt Schilling you can't live in America. Nobody's throwing him into jail for things that he's saying. None of that is happening. His rights are fully intact. Now, is it being held against him? Yeah. It is. But, frankly, shouldn't you just be smart enough along the way to understand that it's going to be held against you? I mean, it's not hard to figure out. EJ, Nassau County, next, 98.7 EJ. What's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Chris. I got to say, bro, and not only do I sincerely appreciate you in both of your destinations specifically, and I've followed your career for a very long time, here's where I'm coming from. I feel like you're kind of showing both ends of the card, right? We're kind of fueling the fire with this whole idea. As a well-educated African-American man who's served in the military and has also worked for a Fortune 500 company, here's the thing. The idea that folks still have to keep, in your words, you know, don't you know how to play the game? That's what most of us have been doing for a long time. So the whole idea, Curt Schilling's a Hall of Famer. He should be in the Hall of Fame without a doubt. The thing I've always argued with is, should we take into account a person's character when we're voting for what they did on the field? And if that's the case, every single person, conservative or liberal, that has already called the show that I've listened to, they're right and we're right. I agree with you. But if we're going to say, hey, there's other things that come into the game, that's what nobody wants to hear yet. That's what most of the people that everybody's complaining about have been dealing with forever. How long do I have to keep playing the game? How long do I have to just keep assuming, hey, this is how it is, so this is what I this is how I have to operate? At some point in time, we make a decision. And you're right; his civil rights aren't being avoided. So he should have free speech, and free speech should come with consequences, like it does for everyone else. And you pointed that out. I just don't. I feel like we're fueling the fire by saying there has to be a way for a person to still be able to operate within that connotation. It's just, it's insulting. It's to say, and the fact that people are calling up saying that that's okay because you're conservative or liberal. Are you kidding me? My mom's a black Republican. It has nothing to do with your political thing. Some things are wrong. Saying you want to hang a journalist is wrong. Whether or not that means you should be in the Hall of Fame, I have no idea.
The problem with it is that you're dealing with a sect of people that do hold that in their hands. They do hold your fate in regards to that in their hands. And you can't do anything about it. So maybe he will get in by the veterans down the line. I have no question in my mind Curt Schilling's a Hall of Famer. He is. He's a Hall of Fame dumbass too. It's not right. But not everything is right in this world. It just is. And you have to figure out how to navigate it for your benefit. Hey, we've all gotten screwed at one point or another in life. It happens every day. How do I learn from it? How do I get better? How do I improve myself from it? And how, frankly, do I prevent it from happening again? We've all known guys who can't help themselves. We've all known guys who can't help themselves. I knew one guy who was so good at what he did. And this is, guys, I'm not speaking cryptically here, okay? This is about nobody any of you would know. Just to be clear. I knew one guy who was so good at what he did. And it wasn't one of those cases where you're extended a certain amount of latitude because you are that good. But in terms of like off the job issues, he could not help himself. Like there were times when people would talk to him like, hey, you got to stop doing this. You can't be this guy. You can't treat women that way. You know, he was like a womanizer. He was all these kinds of things. And there would be people that would talk to him about it. You have to be smarter. And he just couldn't help himself. And when you have people that can't help themselves, we can't help you. I'm not saying it's right the way it's structured. I'm saying how it's structured is. And they are supposed to take integrity into it, into account, but it's integrity in terms of the game. Schilling should be in. There's no getting around that. The fact that he's not in, he could have been in 5 years ago if he was smart enough to do this the right way. He could spout off now, it wouldn't be a problem. Just wait. It's dumb on his part. And I know what we're saying earlier with the caller. Like, how long do we all have to play the game? Dude, all of us in our work lives are absolutely asking that question every day. How long do you have to play the game? I shouldn't say us. I'm not in a work life, so to speak. But plenty of people I know are asking that exact question every day. It is what it is. And I hate that phrase, but in this case, there's really not a better way to put it. There's just not. I was just posting a poll on my Insta story. Hey, maybe you go give me a follow over there. How about that? That would be at that guy Carlin on Instagram. I don't think it would kill you. You know, just to say, I don't think it would kill you to follow me on the Instagram. You know, listen, that guy Carlin, go over there and vote on the Insta stories. I'm interested to see what you have to say about Schilling for those who didn't get in. 800-919-3776. Let's hit Spike in Jersey. Spike, what's going on?
Good evening, my friend. I'm going to give you a choice now. Well, let's put me and you on the beach. We're walking along the beach. And I blindfold you.
I don't love the way this is starting.
Well, that's all right. I need shade. And the lantern washes up. And it gives you three pitches to pitch in a big game. And I come out with Madison Baumgarten, current ones. El Duque and Curt Schilling. And if you're asking me, I said, I'll give the ball to any one of the three. I'm good. You agree?
I would agree with that. Yeah,
okay,
I could give the one to any, I could give the ball to any one of the three.
I'd any one of those three since the year 2000. Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame on his qualifications, undoubtedly, but he's a jerk. You know, when you mentioned before about, I forgot who it was, interesting conversation going on about not being, you know, cooperative with the writers. The only one who got in and he was Steve Carlton was the only one. He wasn't good to the writers either.
Hey, Jeff Carlton was nasty to everybody.
Yeah, but he got in because he just overpowered them with his numbers. You could not leave him out and keep the job. I mean, I don't know what percentage he got.
Spike, Steve Carlton went 27-3 for a team that won 59 games.
That's getting into, I have to deviate a second while I got you, and it's always good to talk here. That's getting into LeBron territory because I'll tell you, you know, I'm a hoops guy, like you're a baseball guy. I always say that. My mouth's aghast. I can't believe what he does anymore. I just can't believe what he's doing at this age. Last night, I flicked it on, and let's see, he's coming back. You know, the old story, it's not a big game. And someone gave him a look on the bench. And he's amazing to me. Amazing at this age. I dare you to come up with someone at this age that wasn't on PEDs.
The guy is off the charts, thanks for the call. He's been absolutely phenomenal. He's doing that against the Cavs the other night. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. Tom in Jersey. Tom, what's up?
Hey, Tommy. Coach, always a pleasure. It's been a while since I spoke to you. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Unbelievable. Thank you. You know, with this whole thing with Curt Schilling, you know, I have, I'm a conservative. I have lots of friends who are ultra-right and everything. And I think, and again, my opinion, that what Curt Schilling was trying to say, and not so eloquently, because I don't advocate violence against anybody, of course. if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. And he was not so eloquently saying that, you know, not for anything. What are we doing here if you're not believing in the country and standing up for what this country is supposed to stand for? And again, maybe he's not catering to the audience. I don't honestly think he cares at this point.
If he doesn't, if he truly doesn't care, you know, the people that say they don't care, they care. And listen, I unfortunately got to let you go because we're a little short on time. But the ones who always say they don't care, they generally care. Again, politics aside, this is not about that. It's unfortunately the way things are set up. It's playing the game, and Kurt chose he didn't want to play the game. And that's now working against him. But that's kind of on him. I'm not saying the game's right. I'm saying this is the way it's played. The Mets should not be going after Trevor Bauer. This is a waste of time. Can we just call this what it is? It's Steve Cohen wanting to get the sexy name. I think this is the first time we're really seeing some of the Steve Cohen influence into the Mets, and I don't necessarily think it's a great idea. I don't. And look, there's a couple of things at work here. Number one, let's be completely fair about what Trevor Bauer is as a pitcher. Over the course of 7 full seasons and a couple of cups of coffee before that, Trevor Bauer has 209 career starts. For about 40 of them, he's been dominant. Other than that, he's been average. That's really just all there is to it. Go and look. He had a dominant season in 2018. He did miss a couple of starts there, but I'm not going to hold that against him. And he had a great 11 starts this past year in a COVID-shortened season. There's no reason for the Mets to be going and getting Trevor Bauer and handing him a deal that is going to nearly double per year what Jacob deGrom is making. There is no need for that to happen. Biggest reason here is you might sit there and say, well, why? That's good for deGrom down the road, right? No, okay. He's going to get his money down the road again. Remember a couple of things. First and foremost, after this season, there's going to be a work stoppage. Make no mistake. Because Major League Baseball is desperately trying to restructure what this looks like financially. They kicked the PA's butt all over the place in the last negotiation. So Tony Clark's been hearing about that for a few years. And so they want to get their pound of flesh back from the owners. And the owners have had this pandemic hit and have taken a hit financially, and as a result, there's going to be major labor strife next year. Absolutely bank on it, lock it up. That's number one. So you don't want to be a free agent going into that next year, and you don't want to be a free agent here in the next couple of years. It's going to change dramatically. I think you're going to see those numbers drop in terms of what these owners are willing to pay. I mean, look at JT Realmuto and what he, in theory, thought he was going to get and where he ended up. He ended up at $115 million when he thought he was going to get $250. It tells you pretty much what to expect. Look at LeMahieu. 6 years and $90 million. And you may laugh at that. I mean, LeMahieu's been a $20 million a year player for the Yankees. He has been. And the 6 years is just helping them out on the average annual values because, God forbid, we go a dollar over the luxury tax this season. So if you're talking now about Trevor Bauer, somebody who, whether you want to agree with it or not, it happened. He was, in essence, cyberbullying a college student at one point. Somebody who, when things are not necessarily going right, is not going to be terribly popular in the clubhouse because he doesn't strike me as a foxhole guy. Does he to you? He's outspoken with what he says, and that's fine. But sometimes he says things he shouldn't say. And it ticks off teammates, and it puts it into a bad situation. He's not a guy I trust when things are going wrong. And I have to think about that. Like, you can't always think about when things are going right, what everything's going to be like. Now, Trevor Bauer could come here and be terrific. That's fine. First of all, he shouldn't want the one-year deal. He shouldn't sign a one-year deal if somebody's stupid enough to give him, let's even say, 3 years and $100 million. He should take that and run, given what the labor situation's going to be. Because I don't know if Trevor Bauer's going to get $35 million a year after all of that gets ironed out. So you got Jacob deGrom right now, who's going to make $20 this coming year. And yeah, it was a different ownership, and he's fired his agents. He took an under-market deal. He deferred $50 million of that money, should he stay, into the 2030s to help out the Mets at the time. Jacob deGrom probably looks at all of this and says, I've done everything the right way. I'm getting no help. And now the new owner is going to come in and pay this guy an absolute fortune. Be it maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. Like I saw John Heyman said, could be on a shorter term deal under 4 years. Under 4 years. You want to bring Trevor Bauer in on a one-year, $25 million contract? Fine. That's fine. You want to bring Trevor Bauer in on 3 years and 100? Pass. Hard pass. I make him go earn it this year. I make him go prove it again this year. And again, just look at the history of the player. 2018, a 2.2 ERA. He was fantastic. 2019, It's not like he figured it out and then all of a sudden he was brilliant after that. No, he was bad in 2019 in a lot of spots. And then this year he was very good in a year in which he made 11 starts against the National League Central and the American League Central. Not a lot to be said for that, guys. 800-919-3776. Bruce in Flushing has been very patient. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Bruce, thanks for hanging in there, brother.
No problem, Chris. I want to talk about the Bauer situation and a quick Nick point. First, on Bauer, I'm going to quote the paragraph in Ken David's article in Sunday's Post. It's a second paragraph. Suffice it to say, had we known about it in advance before Girard was hired, it would have been a disqualification. That was Sandy Alderson talking about the previous general manager and his shenanigans. You know this guy cyberbullied a 17-year-old girl, made her life miserable. So, to quote that paragraph, you know before ahead of time, how can you, in good conscience, sign Bauer after what he did?
I don't know. You know, is what he did the same as what Jared Porter did? No, but it's not good. And I just think that he's a loose cannon and not in a great way. I mean, it's funny, Bruce. I'm reading some stories about him this afternoon and you type it into Google. And what's like one of the first thing that comes up? 6 minutes of quote, Trevor Bauer's antics on the field, being a dumbass. And, you know, for instance, you know, throwing the ball over the center field wall as Terry Francona is coming out to get him. And Francona actually says to him, what the blank are you doing? You know, it's maddening with a player like that sometimes. Maddening. It's absolutely remarkable. Chris Palazzolo checking in. And I have to recognize this. He's on the live stream over on ESPN New York 98.7's Twitter handle and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. My YouTube page, too, if we're keeping track. Anyway, Chris Palazzolo. I remember when you tag-teamed with Andre the Giant and established Bobby the Brain Heenan. I have, on a few other occasions, been described as either King Kong Bundy or George the Animal Steel. That has happened. So, you know, you're nothing new, Chris. Come with some fresh material. The greatest regret of my career, there was a time, I want to say it was about 10, 11, 12 years ago, where I could have gone and auditioned to be a WWE broadcaster. And I passed on even the chance to audition. And the reason I passed is that I still wanted to be a serious broadcaster. Come on. I mean, I loved Gorilla Monsoon. Absolutely loved him. Are you telling me I couldn't do that? I mean, I don't mean to pat myself on the back. I would have been absolutely amazing as a WWE broadcaster. Lena in Port Chester is next on 98.7 ESPN. Lena, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm great. What do you got, Lena?
Well, it's about the Hall of Fame, and I've thought this for a while, but Henry Aaron brought it back to me. I believe the Hall of Fame criterion is not only about your on-field performance, but I think the word character is in there.
I think the word integrity. Integrity.
Okay. Well, Henry Aaron had integrity and also great on-the-field performance, and that's happening less and less and less as we go along. I'm thinking maybe you need to take the word integrity out of there and just base it regretfully. I'm not happy about this, but to avoid these kinds of controversies, maybe we're just going to have to take integrity out of there and base it on your field performance. Otherwise, it's getting very ugly.
I can't disagree with what you just said. I really can't.
It's sad. I'm not happy about this.
Yeah.
But
look, he should get in.
Half the Hall of Fame right now, you know, starting with Ty Cobb.
Oh, of course.
There's some really miserable excuses for human beings in there.
Absolutely. Ty Cobb would not get in if he was in it, you know, being voted for today. If he was on the ballot today, Ty Cobb would not get in. No chance. And frankly, I need to go back and look what he did, but he was an abject racist, among other things. You know, that Tommy Lee Jones movie, Ty Cobb, I only watched like half of it. There was always that story that Ty Cobb killed a drifter, but I'm not sure that he did. Here's the thing. If there's even a story that maybe you did, you're probably not the best guy to begin with, and you're not exactly denying it. Anyway, you get the point. Let's roll. Buddha, Bronx, next. 98.7 ESPN. Buddha, go.
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
How you doing, man?
Good, good. Listen, you know, my life and my professional career for the last 25 years has been kind of in the field to counteract, like, some of the thoughts and the things that Mr. Schilling has expressed. Mm-hmm. You know, but that being said, I totally disagree with him being excluded from the Hall of Fame for saying those things. You know, personally, I agree with a lot of the other callers that called before. I mean, maybe for different reasons why I agree with them, but I agree. You know, what you say, your political affiliations, all that, to me, that means absolutely nothing. On the field, were you able to perform at that level? Yes, you were. You should be in the Hall of Fame. The thing that bothers me as a human being, you know, in terms of dealing with people is more when you have a person who's not honest or who's not sincere. I find that person much more dangerous than a person who tells you exactly who they are. I mean, come on.
Well, are you referencing somebody in particular or just in general?
No. I mean, just in general. I mean, we all work with people, or we all have neighbors that we know have feelings that are not good, but they'll put that smile on their face, or you know, the interactions will be awkward. I mean, listen, I respect you whether or not I agree with you, whether or not I agree with you, what you stand for, what you believe in, whatever. I respect you when you say what it is that you feel. And whether it's stupid, whether it's ignorant, whether it's racist, whatever, which way it is, I can't come at you and say you don't have a right to feel like that. Maybe if we want to sit down and break bread and talk about some things, and you know, we could do that. But I can't see the problem that we're having nowadays, and I think where you're getting a lot of the pushback from a lot of different things is when you're trying to force somebody – to see things your way or believe things your way. A lot of people are not going to do it. And you know what? That doesn't mean you shouldn't have a job. Or that doesn't mean you shouldn't have the Hall of Fame. Maybe we won't be
buddies. It doesn't mean you should have a job, but you can't be surprised sometimes, Buddha, and thanks for the call, when a company may not want to hire you. When they're that's why they do things like go through your social media. And, you know, if you have views that are not consistent with what they want, they have the right to not hire you. It's not about civil rights in that case, right? And yeah, there are a lot of people that just in the back of their minds think a lot differently than how they speak. Huey in St. Louis is next. Huey, what's going on, bud?
Howard, how are you, brother?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. So this whole Hall of Fame thing, I am so sick and tired of these writers and submitting blank ballots and different things. You know, you're sitting
here blank ballots, come on. You know, seriously, if you're going to submit a blank ballot and you're trying to make a point, just have your vote taken away. Just tell them you don't want to vote. You know, you want to, that's just grandstanding for the sake of doing it. It's stupid.
And it's just being an ass, if you ask me. I mean, it's just being an ass. But, you know, but it's funny. I'm going to pick on John Heyman. Okay, I don't know what your relationship is, if you like the guy or not, but
John and I get along great. I like John personally.
Okay, well, I think he's a fraud. Okay, and I listen to him on the Fan. He is. He's an absolute fraud. By the way, his voice is horrendous. You shouldn't have a podcast either, but that's a whole other story. But when he was on with Joe and Evan every week on the Fan, and he would go through, especially early in the pandemic, they were talking about Hall of Fame and whatnot. And I called in one day and said, next time he's on, bring up Delgado. He had no idea about Delgado's stats and was shocked when he looked at him a second time, but still argued he should not have gotten 5%. You know, back in the day, Mike and Chris used to talk about 10 Hall of Fame seasons, and that's what the starting point was for a Hall of Fame career. You look at Carlos Delgado's stats, Chris, and he should still be on the ballot. I would argue he's had a better career than guys like Scott Rowland, Jeff Kent, some of these other guys. I don't think Scott Rowland's a Hall of Famer. And I watched him play here in St. Louis for a while. And again, I understand there's some subjective stuff here. But when these guys make this political, Curt Schilling should be a Hall of Famer. I don't care if he supported Trump or if he supported, you know, Putin. It doesn't matter at this point, right? His baseball resume speaks for itself.
Appreciate the call, as always, Huey. You know, looking at Delgado, I mean, he's got 1,500 RBIs. 280 hitter. 929 OPS. I mean, that argument is there to be made. And he had 9 seasons with over 100 RBIs. 40 home run seasons. He had 3 of them. 30 home run seasons. 10. That's a fair point. It's a fair point on Delgado. Those are ridiculous numbers. 1,500 RBIs doesn't mean what it used to. It should still have more of a significance. By the way, I hope you enjoyed that segment of me counting. Adam in Tom's River next. Adam, what's going on?
What's going on, Chris? How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Good. So I was thinking about the Trevor Bauer signing, and it would, like you kind of made mention of, like a year deal makes sense. I think if you go long-term, unless you're pulling an R.A. Dickey and going to get rid of Syndergaard or DeGrom for a lot of pieces down the road, signing him long-term makes no sense. But where is the signing of Conforto? Put that money towards Conforto, get another couple bats in the outfield and save that money rather than going ahead and trying to put all the eggs in the basket and just starting pitching, because we've seen how great that's worked out since 2016.
See, I would say about that, you know, when you're talking about Conforto, I'm not remotely worried about it. Like, I don't think Conforto plays into this. I don't see Conforto walking. I absolutely see Steve Cohen getting a deal done there. Danny in Jersey next. Danny, what's going on?
Hey, Chris. First time, long time, man.
Thanks for checking in.
I think everything you were saying earlier today was on point. I just wanted to say one thing, because I know there's been some revived talks about the Yankees today now with looking with an eye towards re-signing Brett Gardner. But I got to say, man, a popular podcast made the point trying to compare him to Jock Peterson today, saying that his WAR is actually higher in the since Jock was a rookie. But what that neglects is that Brett Gardner's playoff production is just not on par with Jock. Jock Peterson's he leads Brett Gardner in every significant statistical category in the playoffs, despite playing less games, fewer games. And I know it's going to be the Yankee style to play this Billy Beane, Bill James, Moneyball thing and keep it under the 208 luxury tax threshold. But I got to say, as a fan who just watched, you know, Tanaka, they let Tanaka walk. They traded Ottavino to the Red Sox, which mm-hmm. that rivalry is nothing now. They let Canley walk. You know, when we have to get 9 to 12 outs out of our bullpen come the postseason, you know, I think it's just going to be, you know, we're going to be scratching our heads over this Brett Gardner. They're going to sign him for $7 million now.
Yeah, I hope they don't. And listen, nothing against Brett Gardner. I know he was a leader of them. I don't want him to sign Brett Gardner back. At this point, to me, it's get out a year early. Dave Randolph, what's up, Dave? How are you? It's not even early. Hey, it's time.
Chris, how you doing?
Good.
The I don't think Curt Schilling, now mind you, I'm biased as a Yankee fan. I'm a Schilling hater as a player. Forget the Twitter nonsense. I don't know if he should be in with his stats. And if everyone's arguing so much that he's in on statistics, what about Andy Pettitte? Because compare their numbers over the career.
Yeah, Dave, you got to go look at it a little bit more intently. Thanks for the call. I got to go. Schilling's a Hall of Famer, and all you got to do is look at the big games, how he pitched there, and also the amount of strikeouts. I mean, he was amazing. All right, that does it for Carlin. Great job, Jake Montgomery. Great job out of Brian Mungia. Carlin out. Stay handsome. 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.